little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
This is an extended shared option discussion with Melanie about fibromyalgia. The recording begins at the point where options about treatment are discussed.
It is worthwhile thinking, when it comes to the talk about options for treatment for fibromyalgia, it's worthwhile thinking about the other things that go along. So the other things that you have as issues, health issues, be them emotional or physical, mm-hmm. it's worthwhile figuring out with you a treatment might help you with another problem at the same time.
Right.
And treating two problems at the same time can often be more useful than one.
Yes.
So that's worthwhile bearing in mm-hmm. mind. But perhaps before we go any further, perhaps I could ask you what you've tried and found helpful so far, or tried and not found helpful so far, in terms of treatment aimed at helping you with your fibro.
Well, basically all I do is take painkillers. Okay. I've never really had any other treatment for it.
Okay. And the painkillers that you've used, what are they called?
Well, I just take like ibuprofen or paracetamol, or I've got some codeine at the minute, so I'm not taking them very regularly. It was just because of what happened, like with me hip.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't really take any painkillers. I just accept it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like filling myself with drugs all the time.
No, that's fair enough. So drugs are not something that you're keen to use if you've got a choice where there's something else available.
Yeah, something else to have.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. But just reflecting on the drugs that you do use because you do find them helpful,
mm-hmm.
you're on your thyroxine, and that's essential,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And we've checked your blood test recently, and you're on the right dose
mm-hmm.
of thyroxine.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important that you don't vomit straight after taking your thyroxine.
Yeah.
Okay, because otherwise it won't be absorbed. But I think we've got on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're on vitamin B12 injections.
Yes.
You get those every
three months
nowadays,
uh-huh.
and your B12 levels have been fine, and they seem to have the desired effect
uh-huh.
for you. Okay, you're also prone to constipation, and you take tablet granules when you need them.
Yeah.
All right, those are probably the main important ones. And I know you take mm-hmm. the vitamins because you make yourself sick, and
uh-huh.
it's just to
uh-huh.
try and supplement those. But otherwise, your diet's okay, isn't it?
Yes.
We've talked about that. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right. So, bearing in mind that tablets aren't your favourite type
mm-hmm.
of treatment, we want to go through the options that could potentially be helpful for
mm-hmm.
you for fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Have you come across anything yourself?
I haven't, no.
In your reading or in talking to other people?
No, I haven't really.
I mean, she has tried, I don't know, it's just getting the exercise referral programme.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I tried that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was something you've tried.
How did you get on with that?
Well, it made it worse.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it made it worse, the pain. Sometimes I couldn't.
Yeah.
I couldn't go.
Yeah, I mean, we were going together because of rely on each other.
Yeah.
And my mum had to stop going. So, you know, I ended up having to stop going. But she was really struggling with it.
How did you cope with it?
You were fine.
I really enjoyed it, apart from the fact that it was very limited times with my chronic fatigue. So I think if I could go any time, like just to join on my own, I think I would be able to do that.
Because quite often we find that, because fatigue is a big element of what you've got, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? And it's interesting with your common problem with the fatigue there as well. But you found that it was a suitable program that you could tolerate okay, and it could actually make you more active. And
it
worked quite well for you.
Yeah.
But despite that kind of gradual increase, you
it
found that
for
it,
me,
it made
it
you
is worse.
It made you more tired.
Yeah, more tired,
okay.
And my joints and everything worse.
And what did it involve?
It was like building up your core, because I originally
core strength,
went because
right.
I'm seem as if I'm just getting weaker and weaker.
Yeah, okay.
I couldn't like get up. I was getting. I couldn't get on the bus.
Yeah.
Like to get up the step, I'm very like now I just feel like just weak.
Yeah.
And all over weakness, so it's trying to build my core up.
Yeah. Okay. So there's an issue with lack of fitness there, isn't there?
Yeah,
okay.
Uh-huh.
And there is evidence that if we can gradually increase your activity levels, and sometimes you have to do that really, really slowly,
mm-hmm.
but having setting targets for what's realistic for you, and you're going to be different from from the rest of the family, and it's sometimes quite difficult to get things quite right for you in a program which involves other people.
Yeah.
But I think that this is something that you've mentioned to me before.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like the idea of it being in a group.
No, I don't.
So what we want to try and do is to try and pitch something which is individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think this last time we met, we talked a little bit about how can we do activity which is at your level.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about some of the evidence that works for fibromyalgia, and one of the best treatments, one that's got the best evidence behind it, is Tai Chi.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a bit more about that, mm-hmm. if that's okay. So Tai Chi, if you have, for example, an hour twice a week with a teacher,
mm-hmm.
for 12 weeks, it can greatly improve your symptoms,
mm-hmm.
in terms of fatigue,
mm-hmm.
sleep pattern, pains, and your mood. It can greatly improve, mm-hmm. those symptoms. In one particular study that I've looked at, and it's really hard to do these studies properly because everyone knows what treatment they're getting. But in that one particular study that I've looked at, which doesn't grease me well, people were halving their symptoms within 12 weeks, which is, yeah. a fantastic improvement. Yeah. You've put up with this for your life, really, haven't you? So that's potentially a fantastic improvement, but it's difficult to know for sure,
mm-hmm.
that it wasn't all placebo, but chances are that it has some real effect, and it's not harmful.
Yeah.
Your worry is that whatever treatment that we give you is going to make you pretty knackered. So, mm-hmm. the good thing about Tai Chi is that it is slow,
mm-hmm.
and you can do it at your own pace. And there's no reason why it couldn't be an individualized thing.
Right.
But the only available classes that I know about locally are in groups. So that,
mm-hmm.
doesn't work for you at the moment.
No.
So what we agreed on earlier on was that we'd try and get a physiotherapist to see you,
mm-hmm.
to see if he could do a similar program with you. And yeah. I don't know if he can.
Yeah.
But what I would do is when you make the appointment for the physiotherapist, say, Dr. Birrell felt that Tai Chi would be the best treatment for me, but I can't do it in a group. Is there any way that you could do something that's a bit like it? And if they can familiarise themselves with Tai Chi and the techniques, that might be useful for you, because uh-huh. otherwise there is the potential that it'll fatigue you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to do it slow,
mm-hmm.
targeted for you, and that's why you've got individual therapy. I don't have another way of getting you that.
I know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one option that I would have encouraged you to do, which is low risk to you, virtually no risk to you.
Yeah.
There are other options, and some of which I've mentioned to you before, and I just want to go through them with you again, if that's okay,
yeah.
for you. Can you remember any of the other ones that
I
we've talked about
no.
before? Okay. Sleep's an issue in a lot of people that have got fibromyalgia. In fact, the vast majority of people have a problem with their sleep.
Yeah.
It tends to be a problem with not being able to get off to sleep properly,
mm-hmm.
and it sometimes can be linked in with low mood, in which case, mm-hmm. your sleep might be disturbed for other reasons. You don't wake up early in the mornings, do you?
No, it's like the other way. I go to sleep very late. It could be 3.
So it's
3
on
4 in the morning.
Getting off to sleep, that's the major problem,
yeah.
and you've got a very poor sleep pattern.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you wake up much in the night?
Quite a bit, because what wakes us up is the pains in my hips,
okay.
and
so when you roll over,
and it's like my knees.
Yeah.
Even the side of my heel, everything.
So all of these pressure points tend to wake you up because
yeah.
of the pain.
I'm like tossing and turning, trying to find
okay.
a comfortable
yeah.
position.
So it's worthwhile talking a little bit about what we can do for fibromyalgia pain,
uh-huh.
bearing in mind that you're not keen on painkillers,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not desperately keen on standard painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, one of the things that does work quite well is to improve your sleep pattern with something that could help you with pain. But what we're looking for is something that's almost equivalent to not having to take any tablets at all.
Mm-hmm.
So how does the sound of low-dose medication suit you? The advantage of a low-dose medication is that you get virtually no side effects. You get most of the benefits from a low-dose medication.
Mm-hmm. What?
So I think we've talked about this
so I'm
before.
Tripling.
So amitriptyline.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
yeah.
Have you ever tried it before?
I have, but it used to make us feel like really groggy and that the next day.
That's interesting. Okay. And what dose were you using?
Just the minimum. Just
a 10 milligram tablet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, some people are very sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be better for you to even think about taking half a tablet or mm-hmm. a quarter of a tablet, or even just licking it on a night.
Mm-hmm.
Until you
have this thing about self-control. And I have this thing about taking that tablet. I can't explain it. It's if it's like taking over is going to sleep. I feel as if I can't explain.
No, I mean.
It's like I'd prefer to just go to sleep. I don't like to think of tablets like making us go to sleep. It makes us very uncomfortable.
That's interesting. Okay, all right.
I feel a bit panicky about it.
Gotcha.
Thinking something's going to happen.
Take over. Well, that's one of the great advantages of this type of approach is that we put you on such a low dose that it has all...
You wouldn't even notice it. Yeah.
So what I would do is maybe just cut them in quarters or in eighths, and the first night that you ever take them, just take a tiny amount, and then the following night, if that's not causing you any bother, take a quarter.
But does that make you stay asleep? Because I don't think I have a problem of going to sleep because I've got my own set pattern now.
So we know that 10 milligrams makes you too drowsy the following morning.
Yeah.
So 10 milligrams, probably when you're used to it, might be about the right dose, but it's too much at the moment until your body gets used to it. So there's the potential that you could try on a very small dose and then maybe go up to the dose that doesn't leave you too groggy in the morning.
Right.
That might be 5 milligrams, but I'm not sure.
Right.
And time will tell. So that's one possibility for you in terms of a medication that's not really a medication. Mm-hmm. It's certainly not letting you give up control.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have hang-ups about tablets that used to be prescribed as an antidepressant.
I know, that's what I think of, because I'm already taking the one, and like I'm tripling sometimes prescribed for that, so it makes us...
Sure. So the medication you're on at the moment, citalopram...
Well, I've come off that now. I'm just starting the tomorrow.
Sertraline tomorrow, yeah.
I'm down to taking norcitalopram at the minute.
So the sertraline is to help you with your anxiety levels, to lift your mood, and to help you control this urge that you have to purge, to vomit. And it's probably helpful with that, together with talking therapies, but I know that you're not receiving talking therapies at the moment. We'll come back to talking therapies if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not inclined to change your medication at the moment for that. So I'm quite happy for you to stay on the sertraline, and we'll see how you go with that. We give you such a small dose of amitriptyline that I'm not worried about that counteracting or causing any problems with the sertraline as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
It's not addictive.
Mm-hmm.
There's no suggestion of dependence with it. But it can sedate you, and that's possibly what we're aiming for. So
that's what I don't like the thought of. But that word.
Well, that's
makes us panicky. I don't want that.
So that's what we're aiming for in the long term is to allow you to get off to a more natural sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really good evidence that amitriptyline will enhance your quality of sleep without it being a dependence thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're too groggy that you can't wake up when you need to wake up to go for a pee in the night or whatever, then you're on too much.
So what
we need to do is to convince your controlling mind that you're not taking too much, that you're completely in control of when you take the next step and go up to a slightly different dose.
Yeah.
So you could do that if you wanted to. Let's put amitriptyline to one side, and I'm going to come back to that before the end of the consultation, if that's okay. Now, we talked also about other things that might work for you because of your other problems, the eating problem, the long-standing anxiety problems, the fatigue and everything. And you're already on a medication talk called sertraline. And that sertraline is there to help you with all of those things as a medicine. But there's also talking therapies that can do something quite similar in a very safe way. Now, the evidence for cognitive behavioural therapy...
I've been through all that.
Yeah. Well, I want to just touch on that one again, if that's okay with you. Did you have any problems with it?
I did the whole thing where I got to the point of, like, I went as far as I could go on it. What I would be prepared to, like...
Was the CBT targeted at your eating patterns?
No, it was about the anxiety.
About anxiety?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And it was quite gorgeous. She was really nice, the woman I saw.
Yeah.
I got to the stage, she was asking us to do things where, in my own mind, I knew I couldn't do it.
Yeah, okay.
So I did end up just saying, well, you've got to be like, if you're happy with the way you are in myself at the minute because I wasn't prepared to go any further.
It was challenging, wasn't it, from the sound of things? Uh-huh. What were the elements that were suitable for you? What were the elements that worked for you within that?
Well, the talking about it.
So understanding it helped a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very, very aware of myself.
Okay.
Of what goes on and all that. Yeah. I mean, they even say that when I go, they don't think I feel talk to someone who's very anxious and on. And I'm very aware of everything.
Yeah.
That's how I always feel like they're not going to tell us anything different to what they've already told us and that I already know. It's up to me to get on and put into place the things I know I should do.
Okay.
But I've never gotten to the point where I could do that.
Yeah. That's relating to anxiety.
Uh-huh.
So at least it wasn't harmful. You found some useful aspects in understanding your anxiety, but you're not sure whether it made a great deal of difference to you coping with the anxiety, but at least you understood it a bit better. Does that make sense?
I knew what I had to do.
Yeah.
To help it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't at the stage where I could be able to do that.
Okay.
And that's always been the problem.
I'm going to generalise a bit. Uh-huh. So CBT for fibromyalgia gives a significant improvement, better than the normal treatments, in maybe one in four people-ish, ballpark figure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not harmful. But because of the other things that are going on in your emotional health...
Mm-hmm.
And CBT can be helpful in more respects than that, because it's often a really helpful treatment for people who have eating disorders.
Yeah.
And often a really helpful thing too for people that have negative thought patterns, where you see yourself in a negative way and that feeds on your fears and it feeds on your behaviour. So you behave differently because you're thinking differently.
Yeah.
And if it's possible to turn that thinking around so that you're not doing the negative thoughts, but you're thinking the positive thoughts, then you take less of the negative actions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all changed the way the brain works, changed the way that actually translates into your behaviour, makes you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy principle, and it's a principle that works for quite a lot of people, and it's not harmful.
Mm-hmm.
It does take commitment, because you need to attend sessions, but there's the potential to have CBT, which is not specifically for anxiety, but it's specifically for the thought processes that go with fibromyalgia.
Right.
It's the pain side of things.
Right, right.
So tackling those negative thoughts that are related to the tension that's going on in your muscles. So it's worthwhile me just getting a feel again for how you think of fibromyalgia.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't understand fibromyalgia very well.
No, I don't. Just something I accept I've got, but whether it's because as you get old, with my age, you're getting on, it's really getting where it's really bothering us because it's getting harder and harder.
What causes it, do you think, for you?
I don't know. I think it just is like a sleep pattern and that, but it's just I can't, if I actually do anything physical, physical at all, isn't it?
I mean, she attended the chronic fatigue service where I attended, and they said they felt a lot of the fatigue was based on the anxiety level that she's constantly at.
Yeah. That's tiring. Okay, well, that's really helpful to understand that. That's a good insight, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was a lot of, but that wasn't the fibromyalgia part.
No, that was the fatigue side of it. But again, the fatigue's part,
Because I was there saying if it's chronic fatigue, says it's all interlinked and a lot of the tiredness could come from that as well.
Almost everybody that's got fibromyalgia has a problem with their sleep. Mm-hmm. And sleep seems to be really important. So sometimes things that we can do to improve your sleep will actually improve your well-being generally, and then have a knock-on effect to actually improve your fibromyalgia symptoms too.
Right.
So sometimes it's not the pain of the fibromyalgia that we're treating, but we're treating the sleep that goes along with it. So CBT can help you sleep better, because there's CBT that works for sleep, there's CBT that works for pain. So it might be worthwhile exploring options with a CBT therapist to say, well, I think maybe I want to go with the pain first, or maybe I want to go with the sleep first. You decide what works for you, because it sounds like anxiety was difficult.
Uh-huh.
It was difficult to make some progress with that. So there's different ways that we could tackle this. I usually try or encourage people to think about the different things that could be worked on within fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. Sleep and pain are easy targets a lot of the time. So maybe
I haven't
done
any work on that, so I think I would prepare to get involved in that, because I haven't done anything on that.
Okay. So just a little bit more of an explanation to help you understand what might work for your fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. Fibromyalgia is linked with poor sleep and tension.
Yeah.
So if you're not sleeping well, you're not processing all the troublesome things that have happened during the day, your anxiety levels are high, and you don't let go of those at night because you're not sleeping properly. And your muscles tend to be tense, and they pull on these tether points, and the tether points are where you've got fibromyalgia, where it's sore. So releasing those will help. Sleeping better will help. Dealing with the pain will help, because it feeds on itself. The more pain you get, the more tight you get. So we can do with all of those. So I'm just going to sum up where the options are, the main options that are likely to be helpful for you that you might want to explore are going to be. So a low-risk thing that you've agreed on, which is exercise, which is mobility exercise, but not fatiguing exercise. Yeah. You've got to do this really slow and gradually increase it. Best evidence is Tai Chi. But let's do a version that's potentially helpful to work towards that.
Yes.
And if you can, in the long term, think about doing Tai Chi, that will probably benefit you enormously, the more active you can. And there's no harm in it. If we can tackle the sleep by one way or another, and I don't think I can adequately tackle all the other options that are there for sleep today, so, but I'm open to that. So maybe next time I see you, we could talk again about sleep. Two of my immediate thoughts when it comes to sleep are that amitriptyline will help with sleep as well as with pain. So my inclination is to encourage you to think about that tiny dose amitriptyline slowly increasing up. And the second thing related to sleep is that CBT. And the CBT could be for sleep or could be for pain. And that's available to you too.
I know you act out as well in the sleep. I don't know whether that would be causing her to not maybe get as good as sleep.
Act out?
Yes, sort of like a REM sleep disorder.
You're probably right about the REM sleep issue. Because
I've been shouting, laughing, I jump up and I go like that in my sleep, acting out what I'm doing and that.
Well, that's not a bad thing, actually. But if you do have a sleep disorder on top of what? Are you violent in your sleep?
Hit me husband in the back three times.
Okay. Well, that's really interesting because that might be something that you and me could tackle. So what I'm going to do today for you before you leave is to give you a sleep screening questionnaire. And it looks at all these different aspects of sleep. And if you've got a movement disorder in your sleep, that's one of the things that potentially I could help you, because we can improve the type of sleep that you get, including REM sleep. Then often that will go some way to improving your quality of life as well. So I'll do that for you as well. So just to go back over your choices at the moment, there's no need for you to make any decision today. There's no time pressure on you. You've been putting up with this for 30 years, and you've already committed to trying a bit of exercise. But I want to leave you with these thoughts, and I'm happy to prescribe for you today if you want to try a little tiny little dose, even just a lick of a tablet of amitriptyline to get you going, is unlikely to be harmful, and it goes along with your principle of not wanting to lose control. So you could do that without any problem with that, or I can refer you for CBT, or you can self-refer for CBT.
I think I'd rather maybe try the CBT.
Okay.
Great. Well, and I know another thing I've been doing is I've put in ibuprofen, porphin I've been using on my joints while I'm going to bed, and I think that helps a little.
I think that's a good thing, because at least it's low risk to you, and it can be extremely effective for pain, which is accessible, so that's absolutely fine. As can stretching and massage, those can be very helpful. Yeah. Let me just make sure I'm not missing anything that I'd wanted to talk to you about before. So at sedating doses of amitriptyline, it can cause a dry mouth, the amitriptyline.
I did find that.
So that would be another thing that you'd find when you take a tiny grain of amitriptyline, is that you wouldn't have that. So revisit that at a later time, have a chat between yourselves, and you then give me a telephone call when you're at the stage when you want to have a better quality of sleep with a tablet. But as you say, we would increase that very slowly, and there's no rush for you to ever be on 10 milligrams. All we need to do is to give you a little bit of a better quality of night's sleep.
Right.
So right, that's all in good time, yeah. I think. So what I'm going to do for you today is to give you the self-referral details for our IAPT team. So IAPT stands for Increasing Access to Psychological Therapies.
Right.
And at their community psychiatric nurses that are trained with CBT. And you're going to go to them or give them a call and say, Dr. Birrell's keen for something to help with my fibromyalgia. I'm keen to try and get my sleep pattern better,
mm-hmm.
and maybe tackle pain. So mm-hmm. it's going to be CBT. So that side of things as
right.
well. And I'm also going to give you that screening questionnaire as well
right.
for looking at why you kick out at night and why your sleep quality is not so good, so that we can talk on a future occasion
mm-hmm.
about what could be going on with your sleep and see if there's anything else that we might be able to deal with for that. Okay.
Right.
That's quite special, isn't it?
Right.
It's quite rare, actually, having lashing out at night.
I think I've just started in the last year or so. I've started doing it.
I think it's been getting progressively worse.
Okay, that's interesting.
A major injury that would punch it into happened
yeah.
around 3 or 4 years ago, and
yeah.
she does more small act now.
Okay. So any chance you could have that on a video?
I don't think about that.
No. Okay, not to worry.
He's often said when we're on holiday, I mean, we're in the same room and that, and he's often said, I'm going to take photos of this as you're doing this. I've never
gotten
out of bed.
Yeah.
Never actually getting out of the bed, but I wake myself up sometimes. I'm going like that as if I'm sore or doing something.
Yeah.
And
okay. Well, that's a really good demonstration of what you do. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep a diary of those symptoms,
mm-hmm.
and then would you be happy to come back and talk? Once you've filled in this questionnaire to me about that, and we'll take it from there. So we'll give you that insomnia questionnaire. Anything else just to wrap things up today?
Would I be able to have a prescription for some more of the ibuprofen?
The gel
stuff,
yeah. I tend to use something that's a bit more cost-effective called Algicel. Would that be acceptable
I've tried
to you?
Yeah, it doesn't work as well as the other one.
So
is
it the 5% gel that you need for the ibuprofen?
Yeah.
So I'll give you that. And shall I put that on as a repeat prescription?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to try and avoid using regular ibuprofen.
The tablet.
And here's the reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're on sertraline now,
right.
sertraline increases the risk of you bleeding from your stomach.
All right.
Ever so slightly.
Right, uh-huh.
But so does ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Taken together, they're not a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I know that you're on something to protect your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I think you take Lansoprazole regularly for heartburn, isn't it?
I don't really take a lot of them, so I might take 2 in the morning and then I'll put the gel on the night.
Yeah.
That's about the most.
So maybe...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's more for migraines she takes. She gets quite bad migraines.
Uh-huh. I'm happy for you to take ibuprofen for migraines,
mm-hmm.
but if you're taking more than a couple of tablets of ibuprofen, you ought to be ensuring you're always on the stomach protection
tablets. Oh, yeah, I take them every day.
Okay. Anything else that you want to clarify? Okay. So just sum things up for me.
I don't know whether she's more say or... last time we came down, she mentioned that about the eating disorder service.
Yes.
And that she wasn't sort of interested in sort of the local CBT, but she found the specialist service helpful.
Yes.
Yeah, the one who went through Newcastle.
Great. Okay.
I saw them, but it was like at the time it was really helpful. But the woman at the time I saw, it was quite some year back now, was actually leaving, so she had to cut the sessions really short. And I was like, felt as if I was rushed through and rushed out, type of thing.
Okay. Well, since you're getting in touch with the CPNs anyway locally,
mm-hmm.
regarding CBT for sleep and for pain, they're my normal route through to the specialist eating disorders team.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the capacity to be able to refer you up to Newcastle for that.
Uh-huh.
Try them first.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not getting any joy, come back to me and I'll see what I can do to make it happen.
Right.
Because that sounds like it would be really helpful for you again.
Yeah.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
So I'm going to put your computer number on here so that this will get back to me. But you can just bring it back with you next time you see me if you choose, so that we can do a proper assessment of your sleep. Okay, just to sum up where we're at so far, what changes are you planning to make at the moment?
I'm going to try and see the physio, get some gentle exercise.
Yeah.
Try and work on the cognitive behaviour for the sleep and the pain.
Yeah.
And I'll think about the eating thing.
And
yeah, okay.
Maybe try the tablet. I know, I tried to push you last time.
I'd rather do the gel.
In your own time, I would say about that. There is no rush because you've been putting up with this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see how your sleep goes just with the CBT approach. But bear in mind, when we refer you to C for CBT, you get on a waiting list. They talk to you in the first instance and do a proper assessment. Mm-hmm. Then you have to wait.
Oh, no.
So because you're going to have to wait for a wee while, you might be interested in licking on that tablet and then putting it on your bedside table for the time being until you get the gall to actually take a quarter of it or an eighth or whatever you want to do. So have a talk amongst yourselves. So I'm going to put that ibuprofen gel on as your repeat prescription. Have you had that before?
I receive it for pain in the TMJ pain, and I've just been using mine, to be honest.
That's okay. Okay.
Because I did have the Algacil, but it wasn't working. He gave us his. And I said, that's mine is better.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
No problem, man.
5% gel. I usually say put it on up to 4 times a day, but I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't use it. The chances of having a reaction to it are relatively small, but if it's causing lots of skin irritation, by all means.
No, just really using it at the minute for sleep when I go to bed.
To help you with your pain. That seems very sensible. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's absolutely fine by me.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone through to Chiltern Moor Pharmacy, so they'll have a prescription there. Yeah. Right. And they probably have it in stock, so you probably won't have to wait too long to pick it up.
Right.
When are we going to meet again, and what arrangements are you going to make?
Well, how long do you think it's got everything into?
It's pure up to you. I mean, I can bring you whenever.
Just go into motion, the cognitive behaviour thing, and
why don't you just give me a call and let me know how far you're getting on?
Right.
Yeah. Or
once I start things rolling.
I mean, we are here Monday, but that might be a bit
soon. Because I'll need to get things in motion first. See how I get on.
If that questionnaire about your sleep comes up with anything, then I'd suggest that we talk sooner rather than later.
Right.
And move forward with trying to help you with your sleep.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Right, thank you.
Okay, good to see you, bro. Thanks for coming.
Very helpful, thanks.
You're welcome. Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.